2 Peter chapter 3 verses 11 to 18. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Well, if you've got a Bible, please keep it open. It'd be great as we look at that. Why don't I pray for us as we start? Father, would you give us wisdom as we look at your word? Would you help us to concentrate? Would you help me to speak it and to teach it well? And Father, we pray for a longing for the new creation. Father, that's something your Holy Spirit can produce in us. Father, would you help him, enable him to produce a desire for that new creation today? And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've been a Christian for a few years, or, you know, 2 or 3 years, maybe more, you may have experienced similar sorts of things that I've experienced, just that struggle with one or two types of sins that just, come back, habitual sins, maybe repetitive sins, things that we just keep on falling for. And it raises the question, you know, why? Why do we keep on falling for the same old sins? You know, maybe for a week or two we're fighting and we're winning, and then we sort of fall back, and those same old sins just keep on crowding in, and we keep on falling for them. Or maybe more sort of positively, we try and grow in godliness. You know, so we try and love other Christians, and we try to show love to them. And but sometimes that's really hard. And growth, why is growth in godliness so minute that sometimes you need like a spiritual microscope to see it? So why do we fall for the same old sins, and why does spiritual growth come so small? Why is it so small as we grow? I mean, that's a complicated question, and the answer I'm going to give is only going to be one part of the answer. But there is a part of the answer that we find in the end of 2 Peter, why we sin more than we should and why we grow in godliness less than we want. And it's one part of the bigger picture, and so this is not going to be the silver bullet for either, you know, the sins that we struggle with or the growth in godliness that we want. But it's part of the answer, and that's what Peter is writing towards. So if you thought, yeah, I struggle with sins that just keep on coming back, or my growth in godliness isn't as much as I would want it to be, we'll tune into what Peter has to say today. And the first thing that he says is, look forward to the new creation and live godly lives in the light of it. And that's verses 11 to 14. So look forward to the new creation and live godly lives in the light of it. So take a look at the beginning of verse 11. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? And the language that Peter uses forces us to go back. So he goes, since the creation is going to be destroyed in this way. So it forces us to go backwards. And back in verse 7, if you have looked down back in chapter 3 and verse 7, It tells you, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. And so Peter has just been saying in last week's passage, if you weren't here last week, or if you've forgotten, that when Jesus comes back as King and Lord and ruler, not as a baby, but as an amazing and awesome King, then he will bring the whole universe to an end. Fire will descend onto the universe. And for those people who have rejected Jesus, then they will be destroyed. That's what it means by ungodly, those people who reject the Lord Jesus. And so since the universe is going to be destroyed in that way, and since those people who do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ will be judged by him, What should we do then? So have a look down verse 11. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? In other words, knowing these things, that Jesus is going to wrap up history and judge those people who reject him, how are we meant to live in the light of that as Christians? That's what Peter is saying. And the answer's in verses 11 and 12. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and to speed its coming. And so as Christians, the truth that Jesus is going to return one day as someone who will judge the world will impact on how we live our lives as Christians here now. I mean, if you understand and if you've got the message from last week that Jesus is going to come and wrap up the history and judge those who've rejected him, then we need to start changing the way that we live. It's a bit like a burglar who's in a house, and he knows the police have been called, and he knows the police are on their way, and actually he can hear the sirens in the background, and yet he still burgles the house. He's still burgling the house. He's still there taking the DVD, CDs, all those sorts of things. If you know the police are on the way, you stop doing the things that, you know, that the police are going to catch you for. And if you know Jesus is on his way, and for those people who reject him and live ungodly lives, if you know that is true, then that should have an impact on the way as Christians we live our lives. And the reason why Peter is telling his readers this is because there's a group of false teachers running around the churches he's writing to and saying, actually, it doesn't matter how you live because Jesus isn't coming back. So if you're a burglar and you know there's no police around and no police have been called, you're just going to carry on burgling, aren't you? And that's the whole point. So the false teachers are saying, Jesus is not going to come back. You can live how you want. All bets are off. You can do whatever you want. So that's the sort of the negative motivation. The positive motivation is found in verse 13 and 14 about living in the light of Jesus' return. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. And again, if you haven't been with us over the last few weeks, the world and the universe going down in flames as Jesus brings fire at the end of time onto the whole universe, that's not the end of the story. What happens is that the universe is destroyed, and yet out of that comes the new heavens and the new earth, as Hugh was speaking about earlier. And that should provoke in believers a desire to be ready for that new heavens and new earth, what's called the home of righteousness. We'd want to, if it's the home of righteousness, we want to be starting to try and live righteously now. So it's a bit like, not entirely, but it's a bit like if you're going away on holiday, let's say to Italy, and you've booked holiday to see some holiday, Florence, Tuscany, that sort of area. And in the run-up to your holiday in Italy, you start exchanging your pounds for your euros. If you want to try and communicate with Italian people, you might start to try and learn Italian, a few words of Italian. You might be getting maps open to see, well, where do I need to go in Tuscany? Where do I need to see? Where in Florence do I need to go? And so as you look forward to your holiday in Italy, even though you're still in England, little by little, you become a little bit more Italian-like in England. You learn a bit of the word lingo. You look at the maps. You have money to spend in there. So even though you're still in England, you become a little bit more ready to go to Italy. That's what Peter is saying. So then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. And I think that as Christians, there are three lessons we need to learn to apply to ourselves as we just think about these verses. Three lessons. Here's lesson number one. The fact that Jesus is returning to earth in judgment should motivate us to live a godly life. So if we know that Jesus is coming to judge those who are living in a way which displeases him, those who are rejecting him, those people who are opposed to him, then we should be wanting to live in a way that pleases him. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not as if living a godly life will earn your way into the new creation. That's not the case. So no one gets into the new creation because of what they've done. People get into the new creation because they are forgiven. They run to Jesus and ask for forgiveness because of his death on the cross. That's how people get into the new creation. But actually, the knowledge that sort of judgment is coming should motivate us to lead more godly lives. And I don't know whether that's something that you think about as you think ahead to the end of the world, when Jesus comes to judge the world and bring in the new heavens and the new earth. Does that help you motivate yourself to lead godly lives, knowing that's going to happen? So that's the first lesson. The second lesson is, are we actually looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth? Is it something that makes someone go, yeah, I want to be there? Do you look forward to the new heavens and the new earth? When's the last time you actually look forward to the new heavens and to the new earth? And to be honest, that will be the driving force behind our desire to change. That'll be one of the big motivations, knowing that the new heavens and new earth are so great that I want to be there. So, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us to look forward to the new heavens and the new earth. It's going to be great. They are going to be absolutely awesome. And no matter how much you may be looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth now, you're not looking forward to it enough. You're not looking forward to it to enough. So the new creation will be awesome because we will be with Jesus. We will be with Jesus. The man who bled, the God-man who bled and died for our sins, we will physically see him. We will physically hear him. We can talk to him. And unlike today when we have to pray to him and listen to his word, he will respond to us. We will actually see the man who is God, who walked this earth and died on the cross for us. And we can walk with him and have a relationship with him. And that relationship will be complete and it will be uninterrupted. Sometimes on earth, I don't know whether it's your experience, but it's my experience, that sometimes my sin or my lack of desire to relate to Jesus clouds my relationship with him. But in the new heavens and in the new earth, there's not going to be any sin that's going to cloud our relationship with the Lord Jesus. Any joy that you have experienced relating to Jesus now is just a small foretaste, a small little pointer towards what it's going to be like in the new heavens and the new earth. It's going to be great just relating to him uninterrupted by sin or a lack of desire to talk to him. And I think it's worth saying at this point about the new creation. The new creation's great because Jesus is there. So the godly woman desires to be in the new creation because Jesus is there. It's not because the new creation is so great that we want to be there. It's because Jesus is there. To put it a bit more bluntly, if Jesus was in Grimsby, we'd want to be in Grimsby. So the reason why the new heavens, new earth is so great is because Jesus is there, not because it's the new heavens and the new earth. But there's more than that. In the new creation, in the new heavens and the new earth, there will be absences of things in this world and in our lives that just drag us down and cause us huge pain. So in the new heavens and the new earth, there'll be no more cancer, no more depression, no more unemployment, no more relationship breakdowns, no more loneliness, no more broken bones, no more eating disorders, no more road traffic accidents, no more little children in Bangladesh who get sent to sex work. There'll be none of those things that cause so much pain and so much anguish here in this life. And the more and more I meet people and more I talk to people, the more and more I'm convinced that there are things in people's lives that if you dig deep enough that cause huge pain that people don't generally talk about at church on a Sunday after on tea and coffee, but they are sort of emotional or spiritual splinters in people that cause them pain because this world is just shot through with sin. And I don't know whether that's certainly true of me. I don't know if it's true of you. Things that we don't normally talk about to our, to just acquaintances, only perhaps to the Lord Jesus himself, or maybe to one or two close friends. And the great news, brothers and sisters, is that in the new creation, there is not going to be anything that causes pain or suffering or loss. But there's even more than that. There's not just the absence of these painful things. There's even more than that in the new creation. So as I read the Bible, I become more and more convinced that although there's going to be discontinuity, so it's the new creation is going to be unlike the old creation, the world today, but also the new creation, there is going to be some continuity with the old creation. There are certain things here now that we enjoy. There are gifts from God, which I don't think are just going to disappear in the new creation. I don't think that God created the gifts of food and friendship and laughter and sport and music and sunsets in this world for them to be abandoned in the next. God is a father who loves to give good gifts to his children. And the same is true in the new creation. All those things that, provoke joy in us, all those things that we long to have and see, that's what it's going to be like. I've got a family acquaintance, so it's really my dad's friend, and he came around to the house one day, non-Christian, and we were talking about Christian things, and he said, I'd rather be in hell because that's where all my friends will be. And he hasn't got it, because who's given the gift of friendship? Well, God has. And in hell, God removes all of his good gifts. So that he will be lonely in hell. There will not be friendship in hell, but there will be friendship in heaven because the new creation, because God has given good gifts. Back on the 14th of September 2012, Pastor John Piper, who, by the way, is a teetotaler, wrote something similar when he tweeted this. There will be no alcohol in hell. If you want wine to be part of your eternal joy, you must go to heaven. And we laugh, but in the Old Testament, wine is said to be there in the new creation. It's a good gift. Yes, sometimes we abuse it here, and that to our detriment. But in the new heavens and the new earth, if you want to have alcohol as part of your eternal joy, you must go to heaven. You can't go to hell, because it won't be there. It will not be there as a joyful thing. And the third lesson that we need to think is that we find that looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth changes how we live now. It changes how we live now. The new creation will be the motivation that fuels us to want to live godly lives. It will be the rocket fuel in our rocket engine to want to live godly lives in light of that. And that's part of the answer to that question I asked at the beginning. Why is it sometimes that our growth in godliness and our lack of progress in fighting sin, why is that so small? And there's either one or two reasons that feed into that answer. Either we've forgotten to look forward to the new creation, or we're not looking forward to it enough. Either we've forgotten to look forward to the new creation, or we're not looking forward to enough. I wonder whether that is true of you. Have you forgotten to look forward to the new creation? Or perhaps you're a little bit more in love with this world at the moment, rather than thinking, oh, the next world, the new creation, I really want to be there. I'm just wondering whether this idea of the new creation is in your sort of sin-fighting armory. So when sin comes over the hill to tempt us, what weapons do you use to fight back at it? And one of the things is that what I want to term the new creation machine gun, which is copyrighted because The Apprentice has just started and don't want anyone nicking my idea. The new creation machine gun. So as sin comes to tempt you, how are you going to fight back at that sin that keeps on tempting you? Well, you're wanting to say, I want to be ready for the new creation. The new creation sounds great. And so I'm going to load up the new creation machine gun and I'm going to fire at sin and kill sin that way. Not because God's going to say, I'm going to judge you for it, because if we're Christians, he won't. But because I want to be there. I want to live in light of the new creation, and I'm going to kill sin because of that positive motivation. So the second point. So bear in mind that Paul writes the same things as Peter. So as we get to verse 15, so he says this: bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. But Peter seems to have already written that before. Has he forgotten that he's written that back in verse 9? So basically, he's saying that the Lord delays Jesus' return so that people can become Christians. Is Peter just forgetting? Has he had a bit of a senior moment? Well, no. So the false teachers are running around saying Jesus isn't coming back again. So Peter's reminding his readers and sort of saying to the false teachers, no, actually he is. And he's saying, actually, one of my supporting evidences that I'm telling the truth is that Paul writes the same things as I do. Paul also writes that Jesus is coming back again and is going to institute the new heavens and the new earth. And that's what he is saying. He's saying, believe me that I'm telling you the truth about Jesus' return, because Paul actually writes it as well. He's sort of getting Paul as a supporting witness, if you want to say that. And isn't that comforting to us, reading Peter 2,000 years later? Peter hasn't gone off on one by saying, yeah, Jesus is coming back again. Peter has actually said, yes, Jesus is coming back again. And Paul writes the same thing. There is a glorious unity and consistency with the apostles. They say the same thing. And if you're prone to doubt maybe what Peter is saying, it's just a real encouragement to think, well, yeah, actually, Paul says exactly the same thing. We're not entirely sure which letter Peter's referring to here when he says that he's written to them. But we can see other bits and pieces in Paul's letters that say the same thing, that Jesus is coming back again, the new heavens and new earth are going to come, and that Jesus is going to judge those who reject him. And so the third thing is, be on your guard and keep growing. So be on your guard and keep growing even. And as we come to these last two verses of 2 Peter, we find that Peter helpfully reminds us of what his letters have been all about. If you've not been here at all, this may be the first time in 2 Peter, or maybe you've forgotten or zoned out at the moment, zone back in, because this is some of the big themes of 2 Peter, of what he's been trying to say. So Peter wants his readers to keep going as Christians to the end of their lives, so that they will receive the rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus, which is back in chapter 1. And in order to achieve this, he tells his readers to do two things. He tells readers to do two things: to guard and to grow in grace. To guard and to grow in grace. Have a look at verse 17. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men, in other words, the false teachers, and fall from your secure position. So Peter's readers already know about the new creation, the new heavens, and the new earth. They already know about that, and Peter says that they are secure. They're quite secure in their faith. And spiritually speaking, security brings its own dangers. If you're someone who has been a Christian for a while and you feel quite secure in your faith, that's grace in one sense, but also spiritually speaking, security brings its own dangers. If you feel secure as a Christian, you're liable to drop your guard in other areas. That's what Peter is saying. And if you drop your guard in other areas, then you will be likely to be carried away by the false teachers who are saying Jesus isn't coming back and you can live how you want. That's what the false teachers were saying. So the other thing that will help his readers keep on going until the end is growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Have a look down verse 18. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in previous weeks, we've seen how the false teachers have been deliberately forgetting things about Jesus. So deliberately forgetting that he's going to come back. And so if Jesus isn't returning, then there's no accountability and we can live how we want. But as Christians, we know that Jesus will return, and that will bring joy for those who trust him, but also judgment for those who reject him. And knowing that will make us want to live godly lives. So put simply, Peter is saying that there's no standing still in the Christian life. The Christian life is a bit like riding a bike. If you want to keep going, you need to keep on pedaling. The moment you stop pedaling is the moment you're slightly starting to wobble and in danger of falling off. And that's what he's saying here. If you stop pedaling, if you stop growing in the knowledge and grace of Jesus, then it's liable you can fall off. That's what he's saying there. And in the 9 months I've been here at City, it's been great privilege to get to know many of you. And as I've got to know many of you, I've known a lot of you have been following Jesus for a good while, maybe 5, 10, 15 years, maybe even more. And this means verses 17 and 18 have a particular force for you, because you may be feeling quite secure in your faith. You know a lot about the Lord Jesus. You know a lot about the Bible. And actually, you feel quite secure. And the danger for me, and danger for you, if that includes you, is that you drop your guard and you stop growing in grace. You stop making efforts to remember what Jesus has done. And when you feel most secure in your beliefs as a Christian, it's the time when we have to do the most guarding. It's the time we need to post our spiritual sentries. And watch out. Strength and security in our faith often leads us to drop our guard and think it'll be all right. I'm quite a mature Christian. I can keep on going. So the other thing we need to learn is that we need to keep on growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. We need to keep on pedaling. There's no sense in which a Christian can get out of deck chair, sit down and get deck chair, put the sunnies on and say, I've arrived. Nothing more. I've got it. Nothing more I need to do. I can just sit back and relax. At that point, that's quite dangerous, because that's only a few steps away from deliberately forgetting, which is basically what the false teacher was saying. So spiritually speaking, are you in a deck chair at the moment? Spiritually speaking. You know quite a lot as a Christian. Maybe you've been a ministry trainee. Maybe you've been to Bible college. Maybe you lead a home group or a student plus group. Maybe you've been a Christian for quite a long time, and you come to the Bible. Nothing really is hugely new to you because you know quite a lot of it anyway. If that is you, and that includes me as well, we need to be warned. We can't think, well, there's enough petrol in the tank. In other words, I've read a lot about the Bible in the past. I know a lot about Jesus. I'm just going to coast along for a few years and not make the effort to keep on growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. If that is you, then you need to hear verse 18. But grow, I mean, you could translate it, but continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that takes effort. The reason why we don't want to do it is because growing takes effort and sometimes can be painful. But sometimes we need to hear that we haven't arrived, that actually I need to keep on pedaling as a Christian, because if I don't, then I might be in danger of falling off. And as we come to the end of 2 Peter, I mean, what's been the challenge to you? Has it been the challenge to keep on growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus? Keep on reading the Bible, keep on going to places where the Bible is taught. Or maybe it's to try and so there's bits of the Bible which you don't really like to say, okay, I know I don't like them, but this is what Jesus said, and I need to keep on trusting in them. So as we close, why don't I pray for us, and then we'll hand back over to Hugh. Father God, just thank you so much for these last 5 weeks in your word. Thank you that they speak to Christians who are secure, who know a lot about the Lord Jesus, and perhaps that's quite similar to many of us here today. Father, we pray that if we are spiritually in our deck chairs with the sunglasses on and just trying to coast along in our Christian lives, not growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, pray that you'd wake us up and make us to desire to keep on growing, even though that might be painful. And Father, we pray that as we think about the new heavens and about the new earth, that you might motivate us to want to live godly lives in the light of that, knowing that it's going to be much better than we can ever ask or imagine. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.